Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
And the title of today's show is The System is Down, because I am thinking of an old Strong Bad cartoon in which he does this techno thing where he makes up a little beat and chants, "The system is down, the system is down." And the fact is, the system is down. What in the world is going on out there? This week has been just a roller coaster. I don't even know if I'll be able to get through all the things I'd like to talk about, but let's give it a shot, shall we? Oh, and welcome Bigfoot, our big fat soft underbelly. Good to see you. And Red Fox Kel, how you doing as usual? And my goodness, this week we have, and I didn't put this part in the description, we have the whole WikiLeaks dumping things, Mr. Podesta's interactions with the Hillary campaign and doing bad things, and that's not getting as much coverage as it needs to. And then we've also got Project Veritas, who came out with this just mind-boggling series of videos. Now, I know that in the past, Mr. O'Keefe has been given trouble over his editing, his biased or selective editing to make the story what he wants. But isn't that what the mainstream media has been doing to the rest of us for years? Not that I'm justifying that. Two wrongs do not make a right. But I'm just saying, oh golly, he's got a bias too. Surprise, surprise. So you take everything you see in this world, especially around election time, with a grain of salt. But the fact is, you just can't make this stuff up. Even with his selective editing, there are comprehensive statements in there that are absolutely appalling and should get media coverage, even if they just broke out those little bits. Like, you know, the DNC guy saying that he has hired or he has gotten mentally ill people to help foment riots at Trump rallies. Really? And the mainstream media isn't taking that statement made by somebody working for the Democrats and running with it? The abuse of the mentally ill? I'm sorry, I'm related to somebody who has mental illness issues. And the idea that some political operative could come up to that person, and this is a big guy with martial arts training and military training, and try to use that guy because he's mentally ill in order to foment a riot, I just want to slap that man. That deserves slapping. And you know that I'm generally against violence out there. But for goodness sakes, are you serious? Abusing the mentally ill for your political purposes? What have we come to in this nation? And that's one of the things that you see in the Breitbart article on the first video, Mr. Foval. Foval also tells Project Veritas's undercover journalist that Republicans are less adept at such tactics because they obey rules. And here's the quote. They have fewer guys willing to step out on the line for what they believe in. There is a level of adherence to rules on the other side that only when you're at the very highest level do you get over. I have to note that it does not even occur to him that obeying the rules, particularly the rule of law, is what the Republicans purport to stand for. Now, I don't think they do anymore. I don't think they do. But that's part of what they're supposed to be standing for. You cannot support the rule of law by breaking the law. Oh, my gosh. This is just mind-freaking-boggling. Seriously, we have mentally ill people, and pay them to do some crazy stuff. I've also taken them for dinner, and I've made sure that they had a hotel and a shower, and I put them in a program. I've done that. Really? Oh, well, isn't that swell of you? Once they've satisfied your political ends, you take good care of those mentally ill people. I am just absolutely outraged at this. Outraged. And not only that, but also on that particular video, the first one, he says that Wisconsin is racist. And he says that an incident with Mr. Walker during a rally, that was his people. You know, we look at these videos that come out in, you know, about the political rallies, and we say, oh, look at that horrible thing that happened in the video. Oh, and it's such a, you know, it's so cool that everybody has a cell phone so we can get these videos from all these different angles. No, apparently that's not because people have their cell phones. That's because these political hit groups are planning those videos. They are fomenting riots, which is illegal. It's illegal. They want to promote a narrative, and they even say Trump supporters are psychotic. Really? Excuse me. Sorry. You are pushing the narrative that Trump supporters are violent. And in order to push that narrative, you get your little self down to a Trump rally, and you behave so badly that you force people to defend themselves, which you film them doing, because one fellow, when he didn't react violently enough, was pepper sprayed. When they react to defend themselves, you film it and call and cast them as violent, but that's not selective editing at all. I'm sorry, when you attack people, they have the right to defend themselves. I don't approve of violence. I just don't, because it's counterproductive. But you do have the right, and I myself have been pushed into a violent retaliation once in my life. It was when I was a carriage driver, and I was stuck by traffic in front of a frat house that they were having a party, and they started sending people out to try and scare my horse. Now, I was driving a Belgian. These horses are big. And if he took off or got spooked into the traffic that was around me, it's likely that I would die. And if I didn't die, there would be huge, huge damage to any of the cars around me. But I was thinking, I know they're drunk, I know they're stupid, but they're going to kill me if I don't do something. So I took out my whip and I tried to hit them with it. They were too far away, so I couldn't. Police officer saw the whole thing, came up and said he knew the horse because, you know, we made a point of getting to know the police officers on the beat down there. And the entire frat house got fined. But... It's like, he's like, I'm so, I saw the whole thing and I wish you'd managed to hit them. But the point is, when you push people until they feel threatened, they have a right to defend themselves. And you don't get to say, oh, they're violent for that. That's ridiculous. And Mama Mia No Sharia, I see Vito in the chat room, and Flycatch, howdy to you too. So, yeah, Project Veritas, he does do selective editing on his videos. But these whole statements, taken as a whole, they are whole statements, not cropped together, they're appalling. Abusing the mentally ill, fomenting riot. Just, oh, okay, I'm moving on. Oh, except I will say that he got on, you know, Mr. O'Keefe got online, said, share this everywhere with the hashtag bird dogging and make the mainstream media cover it, because I sent it to them and they all spiked it. They wouldn't show it. Well, the reason they spiked it is probably because they didn't want to get burned because of the lawsuits that have followed Mr. O'Keefe around because of his selective editing. They probably wanted a little more time to go through and check it. So, anyway, I am going to move on to... from the second video, I want to read you a statement from the second video made by Mr. Fauvel again. He says, we have to do a better job of making our people do what they're supposed to do. Not asking them, making them. Not expecting them and taking it for granted, but beating the bleep out of them and then making them do it. And the journalist says, like voters? And he says, yeah. And I want you to understand that that is the difference. That is the difference between the good guys and the bad guys. The good guys say, this is what I'm doing. I believe it to be the right thing to do. Please join me. And then if you don't join them, that's your choice. The bad guys say, you will do what I tell you. So for all you out there who are saying, oh, Hillary's a woman, it's time for a woman, get off your butts and do some work. And for those of you who are claiming that the Democrats have the moral high ground, maybe you ought to examine your definition of moral high ground. What exactly makes abusing the mentally ill and fomenting riots the moral high ground? Because I don't think you have that. All right, I am going to move on to thought policing. There is an article linked in the show description, a Reuters article, exclusive White House plans community-based prevention of violent ideologies. And this is a lovely piece of spin and what have you. Congress does not have the authority to reject the plan, but could withhold funding to prevent it from being fully implemented. The White House says the plan can be implemented at current funding levels. And where are we going to get more money? We are already so far in debt we couldn't swim there if we were attached to a buoy. That's how far underwater we are. But it will need dedicated funding in the future to fully realize the goals of the strategy. Civil liberties groups have criticized the current model as one that sows distrust in Muslim communities in the United States. Really, really. What this is they want to come up with a program that will deploy a group of mental health counselors to a community to try and intervene before people pose a threat to the community or before people turn to violence because of their violent ideologies. And they mention attacks. Authorities blamed radical violent ideologies as the motives for the attacks in the last year in Charleston, South Carolina, San Bernardino, California, Orlando, Florida, New York, and New Jersey. And then this next sentence is just a masterpiece of spin. Absolutely a masterpiece. I am in awe. A self-styled white supremacist is accused of shooting dead 9 black people inside a historic African-American church in Charleston. And the other shootings and bombs were inspired by Islamist militants. Did you get that? Oh, we must. These are the violent radical ideologies are those horrible white supremacists. That was one of the attacks. And the rest were Islamic. Inspired by Islamist militants. The reason they phrase it as violent ideologies is not so that they can go after the followers of Islam who are doing what their doctrine demands, but so that they can twist it and make it legal to go after Christians and other people who are peaceful but who oppose the progressive communist agenda. That's what it is. That's what it's for. Just like Obamacare, death care as I call it, that was not for the purpose of providing health care, which it doesn't. It wasn't even for the purpose of providing health insurance, because it doesn't. That's for the purpose of allowing the state to legally kill people. That's what it's for. That's exactly what it's intended for and what it will do if we don't repeal it. And have we heard in this election cycle, have we heard one politician, even one, talking about repealing death care? Wasn't the last election about repealing death care? We gave the Republicans, the GOP, the majority they wanted. We even got rid of Harry Reid because, to be fair, the House passed over 40 resolutions to repeal or get rid of or cripple Obamacare. But Harry Reid stood in the way for years and would not allow any of those bills to come to a vote in the Senate. So we even got rid of Harry Reid for you. The voters got rid of him. And yet, has it been repealed? How many of those guys who are in there right now campaigned on the notion that they would see it repealed? Where are you? Why hasn't it been repealed? Absolutely amazing. Amazing. So the thought police are coming. Yes, they are. And then we have another article from Reuters. State Department official pressured FBI to declassify Clinton email. And this is from the FBI documents. Saying that Patrick Kennedy, the State Department's most senior manager, appears in the latest release of interview summaries from the Federal Bureau of Investigation's year-long investigation into Clinton sending and receiving classified government secrets via her unauthorized server. Did you get that? This is not WikiLeaks. This is not Project Veritas. This is the FBI's own paperwork. Their own paperwork. They are saying that one FBI official whose name is redacted told investigators that Kennedy repeatedly pressured the various officials at the FBI to declassify information in one of Clinton's emails. The email was about the deadly 2012 attack on a U.S. compound in Benghazi, Libya, and included information that originated from the FBI, which meant that the FBI had final say on whether it would remain classified. The State Department spokesman Mark Toner says Kennedy was not pressuring the FBI, but was just trying to understand better how the FBI's classification process worked. Now, this is what the whole quid pro quo thing was about. That there was some reward offered in that conversation to the FBI, some sort of assignment of having more agents in Iraq or someplace like something like that. And I'm not sure I understand it because I don't know what the internal agency politics are like. But the State Department and the FBI both confirmed that the conversation about the email's classification and an increase in FBI slots in Iraq took place, but both agencies said there was no quid pro quo. And the first one was in a separate interview summary. Among the 100 pages released on Monday, another unnamed FBI official confirmed a discussion of a quid pro quo. quid pro quo is pay for play. You do what I want, I do what you want. He said Kennedy told him in a phone call that the FBI's classification of the emails caused problems for Kennedy. The official said he told Kennedy he would look into it, which he had not yet seen, if the State Department would consider allowing more FBI agents to be posted in Iraq in exchange. It's, yeah, do we trust the FBI? I don't know. What we've also got is Fox News Insider, insider.foxnews.com. Judge Napolitano, sorry, Vito. Judge Napolitano, and the headline is Judge Knapp, new FBI docs show bribe offered to agents in Hillary email probe. And he says that they show the evidence of a bribe being offered by a senior State Department official to FBI agents. And that's what he's talking about, is that quid pro quo. And this is the wrong article, I think. Either that or they changed the article since I read it last night, or since I posted it on the Call Me Mom page. And one of the things that the judge was saying in that article was that when the request was made to declassify this document of the FBI, Ms. Clinton was already under investigation, and those documents are evidence. So what the State Department was asking the FBI to do was to tamper with evidence in a case that was under investigation. Okay, do you get that? State Department trying to get the FBI to tamper with evidence. I hear that and I'm like, where are we? Where are we? In bizarro world? But we must be in bizarro world because now men can use the ladies' room. You can be prosecuted for maliciously misgendering somebody, and the FBI did not prosecute for a crime that does not require intent, to which Ms. Clinton has publicly admitted, that of destroying government documents. And the reason, one of the reasons she's being protected, I'm sure, is because when you think about it, in order for her to have had a private server, which goes against all State Department policy and regulation and the law, she would have had to get permission from someone higher up. Who is higher up than the Secretary of State that would need to approve of that private server? Somebody who corresponded with her on that private server. That would be Mr. Obama. Which means that the whole apparatus of the government is corrupt. All of it. Every bit of it needs to be torn down and rebuilt. And the Declaration of Independence says we have a duty to do that whenever a government becomes abusive of those ends. And what are those ends that are referred to? Recognizing and securing, to secure the rights that we are afforded by God, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm not calling for revolution. I am calling for restoration. I am saying let us do what the DOI has said. That's going to cost us, and I don't think we are at the point yet, because the DOI also says that mankind is disposed to suffer evil while evils are sufferable. And apparently, evils are still sufferable. So, one more time, are we going to see charges for that? I doubt it. I doubt it very much. Now, there is also, I'm going to go on into religion, and let's talk about the religion of pieces. I'm just going to do a quick rundown of the headlines on Jihad Watch. But before that, I'm going to say there I've also linked, I believe, to a video by the Rebel Media. Dear Progressives, is it culturally insensitive to call this barbaric? And he's talking about a news story where a Muslim father in, I think it's Norway, was upset because his daughter was too Western. So in order to punish her for being too Western, he raped her. That's the religion of pieces for ya. And let's just talk about these on Jihad Watch. Let's just go down the headlines. Belgium, four Muslims held on jihad terror charges. Video, Robert Spencer, on why non-devout Muslims sometimes turn to jihad terror. Teachers Union protests FBI Radical Ideologies website because it could single out Muslims. Belgium, I read that one already. Germany, Muslim migrant arrested for rape of 90-year-old grandmother returning from church. Oh, Russell Simmons, probably more Christians are radicalized than Muslims. Islamophobia is the worst scourge we have. This man's insane. Insane! What do radicalized Christians do? Why, we get out there and we evangelize for the Lord. Gosh, what a threat. Because people couldn't possibly stand being evangelized, having somebody say, I love you so much, I want you to come to heaven with me. I don't want you to burn in hell. Oh, gosh, get them away. Germany, Muslim opens fire in crowded hair salon, then takes hostage. Oh, but that's not a Muslim thing. They're calling that a crime of passion. Pakistan, Muslim murders daughter for honor, goes free after pardoning himself. In Islamic law, the family of a person who is killed can demand restitution. But in this case, the father, that is the killer, waived this demand, so he received no punishment at all. Muslims commit 91% of honor killings worldwide. And the Palestinian Authority gives pardons or suspended sentences for honor murders. Because that's Islam, folks. Ireland, Crusaders Athletic Club drops cross from its crest to avoid offending Muslims. Germany, Green MP says Germans should learn Arabic. Sweden, outside parliament, Muslim crowd praises Khomeini chants, make Muslims of them all. Sharia in Indonesia, woman savagely beaten for standing too close to her boyfriend. 17,000 Muslim migrants sue the German government. Here's gratitude for you. The German government isn't being quick enough to bring in their families. Hop to it, dimmies. 17,000 refugees complain about better status. Canada, Islamic Center demands revocation of neighboring bar's liquor license. Sweden, returning Islamic State jihadis to get free housing, driver's license, tax benefits. The usual suspects, and they have a picture of Mr. Obama and Ms. Clinton. Get ready to gut law letting 9/11 families sue the Saudis. Video, ex-Muslim Sarah Torrent takes a stand on Trump and Hillary on the Glasnov gang. Politico's Glenn Thrush sends story to Hillary aide for approval, admits he's a hack. Says this is not a story about jihad, and yet it is. This story, along with stories about how leftist Soros-funded groups bought favorable coverage of the Iran deal. And remember, it's not really a deal because Iran didn't sign it. They never signed it. What the White House calls it is a non-binding political commitment, which means we do everything that the deal demands and they do nothing. So they bought favorable coverage of the Iran non-binding political commitment and the Muslim migrant inundation, and also bought hit pieces on foes of jihad terror, sheds light on what the mainstream media is and organ. Houston, Muslim refugee pleads guilty to trying to bomb malls for the Islamic State. Maryland, Muslim accused of plotting to kill member of U.S. military for the Islamic State. Canada, Muslim activist says Sharia can be gradually implemented in North America. You understand what you're looking at here, folks? We are at war. We are at war with the communists, and we are at war with the Muslims, and both of them are already inside the wall. Don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to say speak the truth. Refuse to comply. Refuse to accept government money. Define the moral high ground, and then have a look at what's done by those that you claim are your political relatives, as it were. And let's see here. If we are not ashamed to think it, we should not be ashamed to say it. Marcus Cicero. And we've got another one here. The simple step of a courageous individual is not to take part in the lie. One word of truth outweighs the world. Alexander Solzhenitsyn. With that, I'm going to say we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we are all supposed to. Thanks for the link, Red Fox blogger, Faith Goldie from The Rebel. It appears some Britons are correct to fear the influx of Syrian children. Faith Goldie, I think she's the one who's been doing that excellent series on the effect of the influx of Muslim kids in Canadian schools. They are being groomed, folks. We're all being groomed to accept violence. Have a great day.